He took Joan Jett's hit song, I Love Rock and Roll, and turned it into I Love Rocky Road. Madonna's Like a Virgin became Like a Surgeon, and La Bamba came out as Lasagna. Weird Al Yankovic not only does parodies of some of rock's most popular hits, but he also fronts his band playing an accordion. Yankovic has now released 8 albums, won 2 Grammys, and wrote and starred in the film UHF. This week he's performing at the International Comedy Festival in Montreal. The Showtime cable channel will broadcast live from the festival on Saturday night. Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet spoke with Weird Al Yankovic and asked him how he first started playing the accordion.
Well, my parents made the life-altering decision that I should take accordion lessons. I guess they just wanted me to be real popular in high school. So they gave me the... I think one of the reasons they decided that I should take lessons is because of my last name. Frankie Yankovic, although he's no relation, is famous as America's Polka King. He's from Cleveland, and he had his own polka show there. And in fact, I think my parents had a lot of his old 78s out in the garage, and I guess they just figured there should be at least one more accordion-playing Yankovic in the world.
Did you go to accordion school?
Uh-huh, I went to accordion school. In fact, I was in the accordion marching band. There is such a thing. It sounds cruel and unusual, but in fact, Christmas time, 108-year-old accordion players would have to march miles down the street and play Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it was pretty sick, looking back on it all.
So what songs would you play?
Oh, again, I mean, mostly polkas. I mean, they didn't let us play Inagata da Vida back then. It was mostly polkas and waltzes and things that you'd come to expect from an accordion, you know, Lady of Spain and the Ilk.
Well, I heard that you actually played at weddings and that you were sort of playing professionally.
Nah, I mean, I played at relatives' weddings.
So oh, right. I wasn't
in high demand.
Let's watch Al get up and perform.
Little Alfred in his accordion. Mmm, fine entertainment.
Your first big hit was Eat It, right?
Uh-huh.
Was that your first big hit, which was a takeoff on Michael Jackson's Beat It? Can you tell us something about writing that song?
It just seemed like it was, you know, a pretty obvious idea, and it just seemed like a natural for me. And I thought of a lot of interesting visual ideas as well, which I, you know, then I wrote the video around that. So it was just most of my songwriting revolves around me coming up with a concept or a theme, and then eventually compile them into a pop song format.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Eat It. You actually had to get Michael Jackson's permission to record that song.
That's right. I do have to get permission from all the artists that I do parodies of. And Michael was really great. It's really a pleasure to do a parody of somebody who has such a good sense of humor, who's such a good sport about his work.
At the time you did that, you really weren't very well known. That was your first big hit. So what did he want to know when you went to him? Did he want to hear a demo?
Well, basically, as is his right, I mean, he wanted to approve the final lyrics, which we were, you know, more than happy to let him do that. I mean, there's not that much to know once he's got the final lyrics, because we try to stay as true to the original music as possible.
Are musicians coming up to you now and asking you to do parodies of their songs?
Well, offhandedly, I'm nobody's like down on their knees, but one of the greatest moments in my life was several years ago at a party. I ran into Paul McCartney. You know, I'm a big Beatles fan, and I kind of groveled up to him and said hi, and he said, I didn't know if he'd know who I was or not, and he said, oh, Weird Al, when are you going to do one of my songs? So that was just a big moment in my life.
So when are you?
I don't know.
Are there certain elements that a song has to have in order for it to be good material for a parody?
Well, it's pretty subjective. I generally try to look for something that's upbeat and familiar, something obviously that's been at the top of the charts and getting a lot of saturation, radio airplay, and something with a very strong musical or lyrical hook. I mean, it's kind of hard to define exactly, but you know, just something that I can, something that has enough words. That's another problem. Some songs are so repetitive that it's not easy to build a joke around the lyrics.
Of course, you did one of those, the George Harrison
oh, yes.
song. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was one case where everything else was in place, and it was a catchy song, and everybody knew it, and everybody was getting tired of it. The problem being, the song just didn't have enough words to make fun of, and so I used that as the hook. And the title of the parody is, "This Song's Just 6 Words Long."
And that's Weird Al Yankovic doing a takeoff of George Harrison's. What was the real title of that?
Got My Mind Set on You.
That's right.
Actually, George didn't write that. That's a song from the late 50s, I believe.
Oh.
Rudy Clark, I think, is a songwriter.
Did you get his permission?
Yeah. It was a lot easier to get permission from Rudy Clark.
Than George. Yeah. What are some of the little details that you listen for that really define some of these artist styles of singing? Like, what are some examples?
Well, Michael Jackson is a really good case. He's got a lot of really interesting idiosyncrasies. He's got all his little hiccups and nah, little weird vocal things that he does that make it pretty identifiable. And James Brown, obviously, with hey and all those kind of things. So I look for those little trademarks.
You got your start in the music business right at the time that writing a song wasn't enough. You also had to come up with a video.
Right, yeah.
And actually, you mentioned before that when you come up with a song, you do come up with a visual concept, too. Is that right?
Not always. In fact, not all songs of mine really lend themselves to video. My record company more than once has wanted to put out a single and make me do a video for it, and I would refuse to do the video just because I felt the song worked better as a song only and that a video just wouldn't add anything to it. There are some cases where a video enhances a song and makes it that much funnier, and those are the ones that I do. If I can add an additional layer of humor through video, that's when I do it.
You've imitated people who give some of the most sexually charged performances in rock, like Madonna and Michael Jackson. How do you see yourself when you're imitating their moves?
Well, you know, when I do like Michael Jackson, his soul and spirit invades my body and forces me to dance against my will. So I become a sexually charged person. Sometimes I can't get rid of that persona for weeks and weeks on end. It's a burden that I have to live with.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but it somehow just doesn't come across in the same way when you do it as Madonna.
Well, you know, Madonna's another case where it was fun to do a Madonna video because I writhe around on the floor a lot just, you know, as a hobby in my spare time. So that was nice to be able to use that in a music video.
In the Fat video, which is a takeoff of Michael Jackson's Bad, you balloon into this hugely obese guy who's wearing the leather suit with the buckles just like Michael Jackson's in his video. What did you have to go through to create that effect?
That was about 3.5 to 4 hours of makeup every morning. I had to get to the set before the sun came up and work with Kevin Yeager, who is famous nowadays for doing all the makeup for Tales from the Crypt for HBO. And I met him a few years ago when I was shooting a series for Steven Spielberg called Amazing Stories, and he made me up into a cabbage man from outer space. And he did such a wonderful job that I asked him to do the fat makeup, and he did a wonderful job.
What was it like to see yourself like that?
Scary. It was really scary. During a lunch break on the set, everybody else would, you know, eat on the patio, and I'd have to go to my trailer and eat. And I'd eat in front of this mirror, and I'd have to look at myself in makeup because obviously I couldn't take it off and put it back on again because it's such a process. It takes such so long to take put on and take off, and it was scary. You know, I was eating extra brownies because I figured it wouldn't make any difference anyway.
You used a cast of pretty fat guys who danced with you in the video. And I was wondering where you found them because this is such a slender, obsessed society. I doubt that there's much call for fat dancers. I mean, were these actor dancers and did you audition them?
It's amazing. You can find really anything you want in Los Angeles. You just put an ad out. We put an ad in Variety calling for very fat dancers, to be blunt about it, you know. And we got some. In fact, one of the guys that we wound up using in the video was just delivering a pizza to the casting office, and he was the right shape, and the casting director said, "Can you dance?" And he said, "Well, I guess so." And she said, "You're hired."
You're really best known for doing parodies of other people, but did you have to create a persona for yourself? Like, who is Weird Al?
It's hard to say. It blends, whatever kind of stage persona I have kind of blends into my own persona to the extent that it's kind of difficult to separate. I mean, right now, you're hearing kind of the mellow Al. This is the National Public Radio Al, whereas earlier this morning, I was doing a lot of morning show radio interviews, and I was a lot more wacky, and, you know, it's kind of like a volume knob I can kind of turn on and, you know, turn up and turn down, as opposed to a whole different character that I put on. It's like I don't switch from Paul Rubens to Pee Wee Herman. It's more just a matter of degrees.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Weird Al Yankovic spoke with Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet. He'll perform this Saturday night on the Showtime cable special from the International Comedy Festival in Montreal. You know it. This is Fresh Air.